Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. You are listening to a sermon from our series, Breaking Free of the World's Mold, a study of the book of James.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praises in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I don't want you to walk away from this sermon thinking I'm a big deal or anything, but at 5'7 and 7/8, I am actually taller than two men who have played in the NBA, that is the National Basketball Association. They're both pictured behind me right there. The one on the left is Spud Webb, and at 5'7", he is so tall that that picture frame can barely contain him. He's bursting right out of it. And the one on the right, that would be Muggsy Bogues, the shortest man in NBA history. He measured in at just 5'3", 136 pounds, and he is the one on the left right now, in case you couldn't tell. Now, considering those meager measurements, most people didn't think his basketball career would measure up too much at all. But despite the fact that he is the size and weight of your average 13-year-old, he played 13 seasons in the NBA. This little man had a giant impact on the basketball world. At his peak, he averaged 10.8 points, 10.7 assists, and grabbed 4 rebounds a game. And not only did he lead his team on offense, he was quite the defender as well. He loved doing the dirty work of getting the steal, and he still leads the Hornets franchise in career steals. Remarkable. And they say a picture is worth a thousand words, and it makes it even more remarkable what Muggsy Bogues did when you see him pictured next to some of the behemoths he played against in the NBA and barely coming up to their belly buttons. No, undoubtedly, people constantly underestimated what a big impact someone so little could have. And it's that concept that we're going to be talking about in part as we continue our sermon series through James, Breaking Out of the World's Mold. Today we're in James chapter 3, and it's all about how we could tame our tongues. And understand this, your tongue, it's the Muggsy Bogues of your body. It measures in at just around 3.2 inches and 0.2 pounds. But despite those meager measurements, it absolutely leads your life in offense, offending many of those around you. It loves doing the devil's dirty work of getting that steal of stealing, killing, and destroying. And people are constantly underestimating what a big impact something so little could have. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me, right? Wrong. At least that's what it says in James 3:5. It says the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by such a small spark. Our words can have absolutely devastating effects, which wouldn't be a problem if we didn't talk so much. The average person says right around 16,000 words every single day. The top few percent of people actually get north of 50,000 words every single day. By the way, this means that the average person will speak around 860 million words over the course of their lifetime. And all that talking can be quite problematic according to God's word. I like the way that Proverbs 10:19 puts it in the New Living Translation. It says, "Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut." Pretty blunt and to the point there, right? And not only can our words cause us problems in this lifetime, they can absolutely cause us problems in the next. Do you hear those startling words spoken by Jesus in our gospel lesson today? In Matthew 12, he says, "But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Are you ready to be judged by all 860 million of those words you're going to speak? If these passages show us anything, it's that we need to be more careful with the way that we talk. Now, this sermon series, it's all about showing what the world does and how we are called to break out of that mold and do the opposite. So how does the world talk? Well, first off, they're not careful with the way they speak at all, are they? They are very careless, in fact, with the way they speak. Maybe you've experienced this, right? Someone says a little joke about you without even thinking. They don't even think about it again after that. But you can't stop thinking about it. It's keeping you up at night, those careless words. The world loves to use their words to gossip, to destroy reputations. A lot of times people say things without even knowing if they're true or not and destroy a reputation. The world loves to use their words in a negative fashion. I saw one study that said that 50% of the words that people speak in some way, shape, or form are actually negative, with just 25% being positive and 25% being neutral. And not only is the world careless and gossiping and negative with the way they speak, they are also quite vulgar. And we don't need any stats on that one. I'm sure you've experienced it. Now, as temples of the Holy Spirit, which we all are, if you believe in Jesus and have been baptized, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are called to speak in the opposite of the way that the world speaks. You are called to speak thoughtful, positive, encouraging, pure, life-giving words. Unfortunately, that's not the way we always talk, is it? And when we talk like the world, we get the results of James 3:6. When we talk like them, it corrupts the whole body, and it sets the whole course of one's life on fire. In other words, the words that we speak have the potential to destroy our lives and the lives of those around us. And that's not good at all. Now, I do have some good news this morning. It doesn't always have to be that way. According to Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, which means the words that we speak, they can bring life or death. They can build up or break down. They can bring peace or war. They can bring encouragement or despair. And what I want to talk about for the majority of the rest of this sermon is how we can better do the former. How can we be people that speak Christ-like words that bring life, that build up, that bring peace and encouragement? I honestly don't think it's that complicated. It's very difficult to do in practice, but it's not that difficult in theory. I think we can speak a lot more life by doing two simple things. First, we can speak more life by thinking before we speak, and second, by remembering garbage in, garbage out, and applying that concept to our lives. Start that first one there, thinking before you speak. Not exactly revolutionary, right? Maybe your mom and dad said that to you. Certainly some teacher said that to you along the lines. Think before you speak. James says it in James 1:19. He says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." When we slow down, when we take a deep breath before we respond, oftentimes it will lead us to respond in a more Christ-like fashion. This is a real psychological concept here. Your brains, they're pretty incredible. I mean that. I do. They are very complex. They're split up into many different regions. For our purposes, let's talk about just two right now. One of those regions is called your frontal lobe or your prefrontal cortex. It's right here. And there is a region deep in your brain called the limbic system. A lot of psychologists call that frontal lobe the adult of your brain, and they call the limbic system the child of your brain. And you can understand why when you see a little description of those two regions. That frontal lobe, it's logical. It's precise. But it operates very, very slowly, at least in comparison to your limbic system, which operates really quickly, but it's very impulsive, very emotion-driven. The reason that we so often speak death instead of life is because we don't slow down and give our frontal lobe a chance to do the thinking that it needs to do. We just respond very, very quickly, impulsively, emotionally. I have found, at least in my experience, that a way that I can slow down is by considering the following questions. Before I respond, oftentimes I will try to ask myself these questions. It's the acronym THINK. Is what you're about to say T, true? Is it H, helpful? Is it I, inspirational? Is it N, necessary? Is it K, kind? If you consider those questions, you're probably going to respond in a more Christ-like fashion. Let's start with that T. Is it true? Is what you're about to say true? Are you sure? Are you sure before you destroy that reputation that it's true? Have you talked to that person about it? Is it true according to God's word, which is truth? You best be considering that. Is it H, helpful? Is it I, inspiration? The Bible says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Is what you're about to say encouraging, helpful, inspirational? If it's the opposite of that, consider, why are you saying that, and whose work are you doing when you say that? Is what you're about to say necessary? So often our best response is just to be quiet, isn't it? And is what you're about to say K, kind? In Ephesians 4:15, it says we are to speak the truth in love. So often we are only good at one half of that or the other. But if our words are not kind, if they are not Christ-like, if they are not loving, your language is going to be missing a little something. If you're missing that K, your words are going to be a little thin, aren't they? No, we are called to have truthful words and loving words. And if we sit back and think before we speak, that's going to happen more often than if we don't. Now, I can hear you thinking right now, you say, Pastor Ryan, that's nice and all, but if I sit there and consider all five of those questions before each and every response, I am going to look like a dullard. It is going to be a lot of awkward silences as I'm thinking, what did the I stand for again? Is this inspirational? I hear you. But let me respond in kind by saying, so often, the most hurtful words that we respond to with somebody today, they don't happen in face-to-face interactions anymore. They happen over the phone. They happen on our computers. And we certainly have time to consider those questions and those interactions. And as we practice those questions there, it's going to make us more Christ-like in our face-to-face interactions as well. So one, think before you speak. And two, you will speak more life by remembering garbage in, garbage out. Once again, not a revolutionary concept here. The things you watch, the social media you spend time on, the books you read, even the people that you spend time with, these things heavily affect the way that you speak. They really do. Ah, Pastor Ryan, you prude, come on now. The stuff I'm watching, that doesn't affect me. The books I read, that's just entertainment. I'm the same person afterwards. I hear you. I just don't believe you. I think if you spend time around those who are angry, hateful, gossiping, discontent, and jealous, you will become those things. But you don't have to take my word for it. That's what God's word says. In 2 Timothy 2:16, it says, avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Garbage in, garbage out. Now, fortunately, the opposite of that is true as well. Good stuff in, good stuff out. At least that's what I'm reading in Philippians 4, 8, and 9. It says, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, think about such things, and the God of peace will be with you. When you spend time around something like that, you will experience more of God's peace, and you will speak more peace and more life. Now, riddle me this. Who does that describe? Who or what do those words describe? Who do you know that is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy? I believe that only describes one alone, doesn't it? Describes Jesus Christ. It describes God, right? When we are drawn to the places where God is, we talk more life. It cleans up the way that we talk. The more of God's word that gets into us, the more of God's word that comes out of it. When we are drawn into our relationship with God, he cleans up our language. That's what I'm seeing in our Old Testament lesson today. Listen to the story of Isaiah, one of God's prophets who was worried to be God's mouthpiece. He said, woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand. With it, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me, send me. We don't need to do a deep dive on this story at all. For our purposes, it's as simple as this. Isaiah went from a man with unclean lips to God's mouthpiece simply by being drawn into his relationship with him. So those are the two big points right there. If you want to speak more life, think before you speak. You remember, garbage in, garbage out, good stuff in, good stuff out, God in, God out. And when you do those things, you will always speak life. It's as simple as that, right? Well, not exactly. At least, once again, that's not what I'm reading in God's word. In our lesson today in James 3, it says, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. In other words, we can do those things. You should do these things. I hope you do these things that we talked about. And when you do them, you will speak more life. But you're still going to speak plenty of death. You're still going to sin and speak death. And when you speak death, that is exactly what you earn. That's what the Bible says in Romans 6:23. It says the wages of sin is death. Now, as always, thanks be to God, there's the second half of that verse. The wages of sin may be death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what the cross is all about, right? Jesus' perfect life and then death on the cross, it forgives our empty words. And listen to Jesus' approach to the cross in Isaiah 53:7. It says, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was like a lamb led to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. If anyone in the history of the universe had a good excuse for opening their mouth, it was Jesus Christ as he was led to the cross. He could have, he probably should have opened his mouth to defend himself. He could have opened his mouth and called down an army of angels to defend him, but he kept his mouth closed. No, he didn't open his mouth so that we who never stop opening our mouths and speaking death could be forgiven. And because of Jesus' work on the cross, the words of Romans 10:9, they apply to us now. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In other words, those 860 million empty words that we speak, they are more than evened out by three simple words. Jesus is Lord. If you confess those words with your mouth and believe them in your heart, you will be saved. You will be drawn into an eternal relationship with God, one that starts now and lasts forever, one where you get to hear his promises over and over again. You get to hear some pretty incredible, life-giving words spoken over you over and over again. You get to hear these promises that you are God's child, that you are a new creation, that you are his masterpiece, that you lack nothing, that you're never alone, that you're forgiven, that you're not an accident. What life-giving words those are that apply to each and every one of you. And St. John's family, my prayer for you this week is this. May you do the things that we talked about today. May you think before you speak. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspirational? Is it necessary? Is it kind? May you remember, garbage in, garbage out, good stuff in, good stuff out. And may God empower you to speak more life-giving words that act as a light in the world, that draw people into a relationship with him where they too get to experience these incredible promises and words spoken over them. May you do this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.